It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower here on the Horn. Craig and Jeff with you. Snoop alongside as well. Hope your day is going well, and hopefully we can add to the wellness of it. You can reach us on the text line, 337-3776. Victor in the cleanup from hour number one says, don't judge one Victor on the rest of us. I don't have a tiger. I have a cat. Because the other dude's name is Victor, they had the tiger that's still at large in the city of Houston. Speaking of which, somebody else tagged in and said, hey, that tiger was just taking a little tiger snooze, probably dreaming of mauling zebras or Halle Berry in her Catwoman suit.
Thank you for that texter. Yeah. Who texted that in?
Right there.
Oh, I don't know who you are, but you win texter of the day.
Yeah.
Thank you for the hangover reference.
That's a good one there. And then somebody else with the anglerfish story said, hey, it's Finding Nemo. And some not an app guy said, Brent said, those anglerfish are just nasty. It's a big old nasty-looking thing there. And swims at depths of in the neighborhood of 3,000 feet. So I guess when you're that far, you know, below water, you're probably not going to be the most attractive fish on the planet. So anyway, second hour of the program, and we're glad to have you with us here. We discussed, and we'll hop back into the NFL schedule release, Cowboys schedule out. Jeff Howe, for one, very happy, enthused Cowboys fan by this.
That's how it works for the Cowboys. If you follow this pattern, they'll have a year where expectations are high, the schedule's tough, whether injury, something freaky will happen, they'll have a terrible year, therefore they'll come back the following year reloaded, everybody healthy. They'll have a terrible schedule in terms of it's going to be one of the easiest to navigate in the NFL, and they'll probably go 10-6 or better and win the division.
Look at you calling it now. Of course, you know.
And then go ahead and go to Vegas and put your money down that the 2022 Cowboys will be terrible and will probably be picking in the top 12 in the draft.
Okay, so Snoop, you're usually the irrepressible, eternal, and unquenchable optimist in these parts.
Really?
So you liking what you're seeing there with this Cowboys schedule? Are you predicting success? Are you going full on Aunt Geronimo, Super Bowl or whatever, you know, because Jeff's stopping short of that, but he is picking a division title and success for the Longhorns.
Well, Craig, I'm picking a winner in the NFC East. It's not like I'm going out on some limb here.
Okay. Are they playing 17 games this year?
Yes, 17 game schedule.
84 days.
Oh, so I guess that would be 11-6 or whatever. My bad.
Well, yeah, 11-6.
I've got to rewire my brain for that. Oh, good Lord. Yeah, that's going to be tough.
So six losses. What are they? Buccaneers, of course.
You going to make me go down the whole schedule?
Cardinals.
Yes, we are. We're going to make you go down the schedule and pick out.
All right, yeah, let's just play the game, okay? Let me pull up the schedule.
Okay.
Six losses.
Week one at Tampa. Snoop, are you charting this down?
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to chart this down, chart it with some music, too.
Okay.
Let's kill it on Twitch and bring us back with some NFL films.
Dude, I hope that didn't disappear. I have, the best NFL music. It's like, hold on. Sorry. I'm almost
there. I've sent you a lot of good stuff over the years.
But this is, so many, they're back. Okay, go ahead.
Again... you guys know me. I'm a pessimistic. Some people might say pessimistic. I say pessimistic.
Yes.
Can't say that right.
Easy
today.
For you to say.
I'm a realistic Cowboys fan. I'm a realist. So here we go. Week one at Tampa. That's a loss. Week two at the Chargers. I'll give them a win at the Chargers.
Okay.
Week three It goes against every fiber of my being to pick the Cowboys to lose a game to the dreaded and feared Philadelphia Eagles. So
but you're going to pick that.
Give me the Cowboys winning at home over the Eagles on Monday night. Week four versus Carolina at home. Give me a win.
Okay.
I think the Giants are terrible. So week five against the Giants. Yeah, give me a win again.
Okay.
Week six, that's where I'll go. I'll go with a loss at the Patriots. That's going to be your Jim Nantz, Tony Romo game on CBS.
Yeah, they're very excited about that, by the way.
I'll tell you, I'll take the Cowboys going to Foxborough and losing a game. Week eight at the Vikings. The ghost of Randy Moss will not come into play. I'll take the Cowboys. I'll take them to go win at Minnesota. At home versus the Broncos.
Win.
Sure, why not? The Falcons are terrible. That's a win for the Cowboys in Week 10.
Okay.
Week 11 at the Chiefs. Unlike Snoop, I'm going to pick the Chiefs to win more weeks than not.
Yeah.
So give me the Chiefs. Give me the Raiders over the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
Wow. Okay.
Give me the Cowboys over the Saints. The Cowboys typically play well at the Superdome.
Okay.
Give me a Week 14 loss at Washington.
Okay.
Give me a Week 15 win at the Giants.
Okay.
Give me a Week 16 loss at home on Sunday night to Washington.
Okay.
Give me a loss versus the Cardinals at home and a win in the 17th game at the Eagles.
Okay, if my math is correct, that adds up to 9-8.
9-8?
Check it, Snoop.
Eight losses.
Yeah.
Eight losses?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe it's maybe the schedule's not
as good. It's not quite 11-6.
Last year I tried to give the Cowboys the benefit of the doubt. Washington is a terrible matchup for the Cowboys. Especially last year with no Tyron Smith.
They play Washington football team like two times in the last 3 weeks, don't they?
No Tyron Smith, no Lyle Collins last year, and that defensive line for Washington just ate them alive. So Washington wins that line of scrimmage battle in a landslide. But again, we're talking about winning the division. 9-8 probably wins you the NFC East.
It's a good chance of it.
Because the Giants are terrible and the Eagles are terrible. So the Cowboys can be pretty mediocre and still get into the tournament if they win the division.
Like, just like last year.
But those two Washington games, and the reason why I say the Raiders on Thanksgiving, for the Cowboys, there's been one game. There's usually a game or two they have no business losing that they're going to lose. Right? A couple of years ago. They went to the Meadowlands and lost to the freaking Jets. Or maybe that was last year, 2 years ago, they went to the Meadowlands and lost to the Jets.
Yeah.
So, at the Saints could be one, could be the Raiders on Thanksgiving, but a game like that, that the Cowboys have no business losing. It could be to the Falcons. I just got through saying how terrible the Falcons are. It could be Week 10 to the Falcons. So,
okay.
Yeah, 9-8. I feel okay.
Your 11-6 number, I just did that on the Rams schedule. I got them 11-6.
11-6? Okay.
Because what I've got them doing is week one, beating the Bears at home. Week two, I got them winning at Indy. I'm going to beating the Colts in transition. What, did Carson Wentz really really impresses you that much?
No, Nigel Hines impresses me that much.
Okay. All right.
You got a lot of Jonathan Taylor stuff?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, against that Ram defense. Good luck with that. Okay? All right. Tampa Bay, I got them losing that. Arizona at home, I got to have it as a win. Seattle on the road, a loss. Giants on the road, a win. Lions at home, a win. Texans on the road, a win. Titans at home, a win. At San Francisco, a loss. At Green Bay, a loss. Jacksonville at home, a win. At Arizona, a loss. Seattle at home, a win. I think they'll split those two regardless of that. At Minnesota, a win. At Baltimore, a loss. And San Francisco, a win at home. That adds up to 11-6.
I'm just trying to think for the Cowboys how the math will work out. I think it does work out, Craig, because if I'm adding it in my head right, in the division, if you sweep the Giants,
yes,
and you sweep the Eagles,
yes,
even if you get swept by Washington, you're still 4-2 in the division.
You got a shot.
So yeah,
nine and eight
could very well win you.
Yeah.
The NFC East.
Okay.
Jeez.
So there it is. Kind of look at the putts number 13 says at least we know the Cowboys won't be 8-8 anymore.
Hey, the only person upset about that is Jason Garrett.
Yeah, that's true. Forever,
perpetually.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I can't complain too much. It's better than Dave Campo, who was perpetually 5-11 during his forgettable tenure.
That's true.
Good dude, Dave Campo. Everybody liked Dave Campo, but
Chan Gailey too, right?
That was the Dave Campo era was a pretty forgettable time in Cowboys football.
Did you say win or lose against the Patriots?
I said a loss.
You think?
Yeah, just because the Cowboys typically have not really played well in Foxborough ever. So
okay, I was just hoping like Cam falters or something.
No, that's one of those. I don't have a good feeling about that.
Yeah, when I was watching, I don't know if you guys saw this. Did you watch any of the NFL Network coverage of the release?
I did not. No.
Schedule release.
Plus, no, but the Patriots are going to be better because they'll get all those COVID opt outs from last year. They'll get a lot of the Patrick Chung and all those guys that opted out last year. They had more opt outs I think than anybody in the league. So they'll get a lot of those guys back. Sorry, Craig, go ahead.
I was saying that on the...
Somebody said the Cowboys go 8-8-1.
Well, yeah, there you go.
That would be perfect.
That'd be, maybe a tie with the Eagles or something. You know.
Oh, geez. I'm going to have to watch that game, Craig. Don't remind me.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm going to have to watch it twice.
Yeah. Somebody said Dallas will be Jericho Sims this year, 6'11".
That's pretty good.
It's rather creative on that. As I was saying, I was watching the NFL Network's coverage of the schedule release, and there was one point where Rich Eisen did an interview, and he interviewed three guys, and the three guys were all Zoomed at the time, and it all went fine in terms of quality and all that. The three guys were Joe Buck, Jim Nantz, and Al Michaels.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was gold because it was incredibly irreverent, especially Joe Buck. And I know a lot of people don't like Joe Buck for whatever reasons, you know, and the most common description a lot of people have of Joe Buck is he comes across as a smarmy, smart aleck, you know, that kind of thing. If you saw this, you would probably, I don't know that it would necessarily change your opinion of him, but I think you might like him a little more if you saw him. He was hilarious.
Brock Meyer helped change my opinion of Joe Buck.
It's very much like that.
Okay.
It's very kind of Brock Meyer-ish, where they open up on him, and he's in the process of moving. He and his wife, who, as we know, also works for ESPN, his wife does as a reporter, and he has twin 3-year-old sons. Now, you don't see any of them on camera, and I don't think they were in the room at the time, but he makes reference to them later. He's sitting in, like, his office, and normally Rich Eisen makes reference to the fact that normally people like to show all the books behind them to show how intelligent and well-read they are on a Zoom thing. All he had all these empty shelves. He had two framed photographs, one of Jim Nantz and one of Al Michaels. And he said, because these guys literally and figuratively have been over my shoulder for a long time. He said, and let's face it, none of us like each other. And he goes on, and he just does it in this real deadpan way. And the other two guys are dying. They're laughing. And then Nantz goes on to think about saying, hey, I haven't even really seen this CBS schedule. I haven't given it to us. He goes, there's 20 other people at CBS have it, but somehow I haven't gotten it. But that's a different story. So they're laughing about that. They made fun of Al Michaels, the fact that for the second straight year, but as Michael says, for only the second time in 36 years of doing the games, that he has 7 games on NBC in the Pacific time zone. And he said, and of course, I live in the Pacific time zone, so people think I drew up the schedule like that. And Nantz said, yeah, I was wondering about that because I've got one or two or something. And he said, I had like 2 in 36 years. So, and then Buck is like, wah, rest of America saying, wah. I mean, it was hilarious. So it was a real good take last night on the whole thing. And they were talking about their specific schedules. And what their point was, though, in between all the irreverence, was that the 17th game isn't like a limp biscuit. It's not just a cookie tossed in. There's really good matchups. All of them are very happy with the schedules and the telecast because they said we don't really have any weak links on a lot of what we're doing, the national games. You know, obviously if you're further down on the food chain with the respective television networks, you're not going to get as good a matchup. You know, somebody's going to draw Jets Falcons, although that game is in London. You know, so there's a
somebody
lot of
somebody has to do Jacksonville Houston.
Yeah, but see, and the thing about the curiosity with Jacksonville, obviously, is Trevor Lawrence. And Urban Meyer.
Well, I was going to say Tebow, man. If this Tebow thing works out,
yeah,
I'm telling Snoop, you roll your eyes, but I'm telling you, man.
You saw that.
I'm rolling my eyes too. Okay,
I'm telling you, if he is on the roster, if he's on the active roster, week one, and I would not put any portion of my next paycheck on the fact that that happens. If Tim Tebow's on the Jags roster for week one, they might try to put that in as many markets as possible. There, I don't know. I don't think they would move it to the I don't even know what the CBS 325 game is in week one.
I think it's Browns Chiefs.
Is it Browns Chiefs?
Yeah.
So I don't think they would move it, but that game is going to get way more attention than it otherwise should if Tebow's on that roster week one.
Yeah. Yeah, probably so. But, I mean, it's going to draw a great deal of attention because of Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer.
And who knows where the Deshaun Watson situation is at that point.
And they were also discussing the Packers and Packers Saints and what are the Packers going to look like and Aaron Rodgers and all that. So it was some compelling conversation in addition to all the hilarity that was involved.
Along the lines
that.
Of Joe Buck on Brockmeyer, Craig, Al Michaels was excellent in basketball. Did you ever see that?
Yeah. Yes, I did. And he's really good in it. He's really good in it. However you feel about Joe Buck otherwise, it might do the same thing that it did for Jeff with regard to change your opinion of Joe Buck. And by the way, if you visit with Brad Sham or if you visit with, say, Dunham and Miller of the Ticket, they'll tell you the same thing because they've had him on the show where they said he's actually a really good dude.
I have my favorites in terms of play-by-play guys, but it's hard for me at this point in my life to knock play-by-play guys because I see how you prepare, Craig, and I know how hard that job is to do play-by-play.
I appreciate that. I mean, there's a skill set involved, but there's like any other job, anything that anybody else does, it's what you put into it. It's your homework. I've seen what you do, the way you grind. I've seen what Snoop does with what he puts together. With the mixtapes, with all the video content that you see at flexatx.com, which brings us, by the way, to the Thursday night flex. So are you lit tonight, Snoop? Is the show, to use your phrase, is it lit?
Craig, you know I'm lit all the time.
That's a promo right there.
Yeah, I am. No, but we'll have some fun. Caroline Dill. Oh, hold on. Make sure that isn't
crazy. Somebody calling me there?
That was, no. Yeah, but we're going to be talking about the State Sevens qualifying tournament.
Seven on seven for those of you who aren't into the younger lingo.
SQTs.
SQTs.
Man, I'm going to miss Westwood this weekend, Snoop, because I'm getting COVID shot number two tomorrow, so I got to keep the weekend
open. Free, available for recovery.
I don't need to make any hard and fast plans.
Yeah, you can go out there and just spill
in case.
Over.
I think you're going to be fine.
Tomorrow, post-shot, I'm going to load up on Advil and Gatorade and hope for the best.
Okay.
We have a gold medalist. I think that's pretty cool. Her name is Emily Fitzgerald. She's a sophomore at Lake Travis, and she won the gold medal. So we're doing some different stuff
tonight. Awesome. 7 o'clock tonight after Triple Option. Just keep it locked in here on the horn to hear Snoop on the Thursday Night Flex. We'll get to more NFL schedule after the break, Craig, because I've got five matchups involving Longhorns in the NFL.
I like it.
To just file them away, and when they get here, including one that is pretty hypothetical, but if it happens, It's going to be must-see TV for Longhorn fans.
How's that for a tease? This is Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
The Sark era begins.
We'll rise above the mess with a little peace.
This is Light the Tower on the Horn.
And some harmony.
Jeff getting into it right now.
Hell yeah, it's Darius Rucker's birthday today, Craig.
Yeah.
This is Light the Tower on the Horn.
Yeah, so fired up there on Darius Rucker. Stone, you got the Twitch rolling up on the volume there? Is that the deal?
Hootie and the Blowfish.
That's what you heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all good, Snoop.
Some Hootie. Yeah, Hootie was on your music survey.
Yeah. I forgot which cat. I was like, favorite band I love, I think, is what I went with for Hootie and
band
the Blowfish.
Band you love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Band. You know what else we love? The Notebook.
Brought
to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
Okay. I
don't know where that came from, sorry.
You can tell it's the end of the week when...
things are you saying that things are starting to unwrap? By the way, your Hootie and the Blowfish is band or artist you love. I still have the survey here. We're going to do some more survey this summer, get some other people back in. Yeah. Band or artist you hate, Pearl Jam.
Can we redo them?
Band or artist that made you fall in love with music, Queen. Okay.
You want to get some? You want to just Craig? Is there any on your list you would do over?
But if we did it over, you can't use any of the ones you used the last time.
No, that makes no sense at all, Snoop.
You just want a mulligan on a few categories.
That's the problem. Is that he wants a mulligan on Cupid for Guilty Pleasure. He wants a mulligan on. What is it on the band that changed your life, Creed? He wants a mulligan on band or artist he loves, a Perfect Circle.
That's okay. Creed this might be a little suspect.
He wants a mulligan on. Let's see, band or artist that surprised you, Linkin Park, or Should Have Seen By Now, Smashing Pumpkins. I don't know. Yeah. That's some of his. So no, there's. I don't think I'd change any on mine. I really like mine. So anyway, but we do have Notebook stuff.
Yeah, you know, band I hate. I went with Pearl Jam because I could have gone with like one. You know, a band that everybody hates. Like everybody could have probably put Nickelback on their on their list. There's some band. I'm gonna say Nickelback specifically.
Well, Air Supply.
But I went with Pearl Jam because it's one of the... I'll tell you like this. Chris Dukes, who covers preps at the Statesman.
Yeah.
Chris is one of my best friends in life. And he... Where I am with Pearl Jam, he is with Prince. We've had this conversation several times.
Wow. Hates Prince?
Well, it's one of those musical acts that everybody universally likes. And it's like, man... Am I missing something? Should I like it? And then you give it a while, and then you go back and sample it, and you're like, nope, yeah, I hate it. It's making my ears bleed.
Can't do it.
Yeah. He hates Prince.
He's a different cat.
Yeah, I never hated or even disliked Prince. At first, I had everybody loves Prince. I'm not sure I'm getting it here, but then I went back and I listened to his full catalog, and much greater appreciation now.
I tried Pearl Jam after I did the music survey. Yeah. I said maybe I was wrong about Pearl Jam. Tried it again and no, wasn't.
Never bring that up around Keith Moreland.
Wasn't happening. Yeah, I know.
Never.
I know.
Bring that up.
Around. I know.
He's real tight with Eddie Vedder.
I know.
So I'm just saying.
I won't bring it up around Keith. You don't bring it up around Keith.
I won't.
How about that?
Mum's the word there.
All right. Let's
Somebody else asking on the spec saying, why does everybody hate Nickelback? They're saying, why? What did they do to deserve hate? That sounds like something Snoop would
say. They had success.
Honestly, I can't say that I hate Nickelback. Nickelback is neither fish nor fowl for me.
Okay. There you
All
go.
Right. Let's get to the Notebook. Snoop,
can I start off with the Notebook? Happy birthday to Coach Jody Conrad, who turns 80 today.
Thank you, Craig.
And can still whoop your butt on the golf course. She is still lighting it up on the golf course. As Chris Plonsky told me, he said, she still beats us from tee to green. Happy birthday, Coach, and we love you. And it's great that another trip around the sun for the coach.
I've got a football topic, Craig, but I'll save it. I'll save it for tomorrow's show because it deserves more time to breathe in relation to Texas and top returning players in the Big 12 for the 2021 season. So little tease for you for tomorrow in addition to everything else we've got on Friday. So we'll just show that. Snoop, can I get some, I don't know, you can give me some flex music. I don't care what you got back there. Just something to go down this NFL schedule at least. Okay. So I've identified, Craig, five games involving Lifetime Longhorns.
Okay.
In conjunction with the NFL schedule release to file away. Now, I'm not going to go down specific dates and networks and all that other stuff, but I'll just give you the week and the opponents.
Okay.
Okay. We'll start off in week two. Now, again, some of these games, you're just like, why are you bringing that game up? There's a reason why. Denver at Jacksonville. Like Denver at Jacksonville, why would that make any sense? Well, you're going to have Caden Stearns playing safety for the Broncos. Could at some point meet up with Colin Johnson playing wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars, catching passes from Trevor Lawrence.
So, very true.
So Denver at Jacksonville, week two. We'll go all the way to week 10, and we've got two in week 10.
Okay.
Falcons at Cowboys. Depending on where he lands in the pecking order on that defensive line, could have a nice little battle in a game within a game between Connor Williams and Taquan Graham.
Mm-hmm.
One of the newest members of the Atlanta Falcons. So Falcons at Cowboys.
By the way, if you're thinking about doing the doubleheader fan weekend thing, that's the weekend of Kansas here.
Okay.
I know that because my buddy from Oregon is coming in, and he's a lifelong Cowboy fan. We grew up in North Carolina together, but and he went to Oregon State, and so obviously his loyalty is with the Beavers, but he has become you might say, transplanted, even though he still lives up there, Longhorn fan. He's a huge Longhorn fan now. He comes down for a Longhorn game every year and tries to couple it with a Cowboys game. Well, so he's going to do that with Cowboys Falcons.
Got Taquan Graham at Connor Williams. And obviously, the Broncos will see what their roster looks like. But as of right now, Calvin Anderson's a Bronco, Andrew Beck is a Bronco, and PJ Locke is a Bronco. So got a heavy Texas flavor on that Broncos roster as well. Stay in week 10. Baltimore at Miami, Ravens at Dolphins. Ravens, you've got Deshaun Elliott, Justin Tucker, Devin Duvernay. The Dolphins, yes, you have Brandon Jones, but keep in mind, Craig, a player from your favorite team from the Rams, Malcolm Brown, who we figured was going to be too expensive for the Rams to bring back again in free agency. They let him walk. He signed a deal with the Miami Dolphins.
Yep, I'm glad for him.
So a lot of Texas flair on the field there. What is the Dolphin Stadium now? What's
Landshark, isn't it?
No, it's not Landshark.
No, it's not even that anymore.
Oh, it's Hard Rock Stadium now. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's three. Matchup number four. We go to week 14, Seattle at Houston. Seahawks at Texans. Now, you say that.
I do.
But with the Texans, obviously Charles Omenihu going to play maybe even more of a more prominent role now that J.J. Watt's gone. And that Seahawks roster is loaded with Longhorns. You've got Puna Ford.
Yep.
You got Michael Dixon. Quandre Diggs coming off a Pro Bowl year. And Seahawks also taking a flyer on Deontay Foreman. So we'll see if he's with the Seahawks at that time. So Seahawks at Texans. And if Deontay Foreman is on the roster, Craig, for the Seahawks at that point, that's him facing his former team. So nice little homecoming there.
There you go.
For everybody. Okay. And, of course, Deontay from right down the road. At Texas City. That is almost the homecoming for Quandre, too, being from Angleton. How far would you say it is, Craig, from the thriving metropolis of Angleton, Texas, to NRG Stadium?
Hour and a half,
I was thinking
maybe?
Hour and a half, yeah.
Yeah, roughly.
Finally, and here's the hypothetical. A lot of things would have to happen, but this was too juicy for me to not discuss it. Week 17, Indianapolis at Arizona. I want to say Colts at Cardinals. Well, Craig, who's the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals?
One and only Kyler Murray.
And given Carson Wentz's injury history and the fact that the Colts did bring in Sam Ehlinger to compete for the backup quarterback job, I would never wish injury on anybody, but if Carson Wentz couldn't start that game, I would not be that upset because I, selfishly, I want Sam Ehlinger v. Kyler Murray round three. I want the rubber match to take place in week 17 of the NFL season.
That would be fun. I would like to see that as well. That'd be great. And like you said, we don't wish injury on anybody. I wish performance. I hope Sam gets an opportunity. And
like I said, if Carson Wentz didn't start that game, it wouldn't hurt my feelings because obviously Sam won the one regular season meeting between the two. Kyler Murray won the Big 12 championship game in the rematch round three. See who wins. There you have it. There's five games involving lifetime Longhorns in the 2021 NFL season to file away.
Okay. I like it. Very good. Very good on that. All right. We've got, as CB says, the Denver Longhorns.
Yeah, we'll see. Again, we'll see what that roster looks like. You know, you've got guys, you know, all three of those guys I mentioned that are already there, PJ Locke, Calvin Anderson, and Andrew Beck. All three of those guys made that team as undrafted free agents. And, you know, I'll say this, though, Craig, the thing helping them out is that it doesn't seem like the pool of undrafted free agents is near as big this year as it has been in the past. So maybe that helps those guys. Like, Calvin Anderson could end up playing a really big role for the Broncos on that offensive line. And, you know, when he's healthy, they really like using Andrew Beck in their short yardage and goal line situations. They list him as a tight end, but he's basically a fullback.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's why Andrew Beck has carved out a career for himself in the NFL, because he has one elite tool, and that elite tool is, even at that level, he's very good at destroying things at the point of attack.
One of your favorite texters is pooped 11 times in one day. Says, take the L, B.
Fill in the blank, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of deal. So, on Sam, a line from Tom Petty's song, "The Future is Wide Open." That's for sure. Draft House dude wanted to go back to that music survey. Elton John, why was he so popular?
See, there's some artists that, like, you'd think people universally just love. Like, my band for Overrated, I went with U2. Like, I don't know. Like, I said it then, I'll say it now because I still believe it. I don't know when the music world just crowned U2 the greatest thing that ever occurred in the history of music, and we're all just supposed to agree with it.
Hey, here's somebody telling us it's only 40 minutes from Angleton NRG. There's somebody I like.
Well,
there you go.
That's Google mapping it. In Houston traffic, it probably is going to take you about an hour.
Rolling up Southwest Freeway like that. Okay, there you go. So that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So there you are. And we've got a couple other things to get to, and we'll be back to wrap up today's edition of Light the Tower here on The Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on The Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Hey, it's here.
Got a few minutes to go before we wrap up Light the Tower. Somebody said, I'm with Jeff. Not sure why U2 is so great.
Yeah, the fact that they infiltrated my iTunes account years ago with that that iTunes-only release they had of an album, that it just kind of made you download whether you wanted it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't help U2's case with me.
Here's something that may help. Well, it's actually not going to help me today. You know, Linda and I are flying to Los Angeles this afternoon. We're going to see the Dodgers in action this weekend. Against the Marlins, but
you see two no-hitters.
Well, we'll see. Clayton Kershaw tomorrow night. What, the Marlins pitching no-hitters against the Dodgers? They've been struggling. The bats are coming around for them now. They won 3 of 4 in back-to-back games over the Mariners. Now they get the Marlins coming in. Kershaw's pitching tomorrow night, and then Trevor Bauer on Saturday. So we have a nonstop flight each way, but this story came down. I was going to throw it in an inconceivable, but it fits better here. Japanese airline ANA is, and this is a verb, trialing, it says, a new innovation that can make your next flight more hygienic. Bathroom doors that you can open without having to use your hands. Okay?
Read right. more. I'm intrigued.
All right. All right. The airline's going to roll out 21 aircraft equipped with doors across domestic flights in Japan beginning next week. The doors work by having a mechanical spring that allows people to press the door open with their elbows or forearms. So, and it's not only the entrance that's accessible without using hands. Once you're inside the lavatory, you can lock and unlock the door with a sliding button, thus activating the lights. And there's also a handle you can use your elbow to pop open the door from the outside. So it kind of looks something like that.
Okay.
All right. So maybe that's where we're headed with airliners there.
You know, that's something I'm really concerned about is if I ever had to go number two on an airplane.
Ever done that?
No.
That's a special experience.
And all the flights I've taken, I think I've only gone number one once.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to go camel when you travel, don't you?
Man, I've got to go. If it's got to be like life or death if I'm using an airplane bathroom.
Okay.
I'll hold it till I stop.
Yeah. Snoop's never been on an airplane before, so he doesn't know. No, that's not true.
I've been on one.
When's the last time you went on an airplane?
A while. When I went to San Juan with baby mama.
Ah,
You've only taken one flight in your whole life?
No,
Snoop?
I'm taking like three.
Okay.
Yeah.
San Antonio for student government with baby mama and for a job interview that I politely accepted and then turned down when I got to stay in Austin. He was so mad. My boss was named Michael Jordan. Or that's the guy who hired me.
As we have all learned over the past several months, don't disrespect Michael Jordan.
Where was the job, Snoop?
In Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah, I was about to work for the Kentucky Wildcats. They had an AM conservative radio station, so that was my end of radio. I can't get in with talent. I had to do what nobody else would do in this conservative talk radio.
So did you fly into Lexington?
I did from Atlanta.
Oh, wow, okay.
From Atlanta, yep. And that was really cool. I'd never.
I was going to say, like, if you'd only taken one flight, you know, I'll pitch in. You know, we'll put you on. I'd have put you like just on a flight to LaGuardia and back just to say, yeah.
That's a special experience. Let me tell you, walking through the war zone of LaGuardia or Newark.
Yeah,
wouldn't wish that on anybody. So, I'm just telling you,
maybe a nice trip to Houston Hobby and back for Snoop. How about that, Craig?
Yeah,
Hobby is a garden compared to going to New York.
So low in time. I just want to shout out Craig once again for the Austin Chronicle thing. That's really big, Craig.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, and it makes me think of Tom McKay's text, who says plain bathrooms are great to avoid. Crying little bleeps, go in, sit out, and take a nap. It's greatness there. So he says, I hate flying, but when I do, I drink a lot of water to help the anxiousness, and I have to pee. Seems like every time I pee, we hit the major pockets of turbulence. So in other words, you're decorating the walls at that point there. We'll leave it at that. I'll try not to do that on the flight out to L.A.
I love that's your parting shot for the broadcast week, Craig.
I'll leave with this. First of all, again, thanks to everybody on the congratulations for the award. It's tremendous, and I thank you for that. And tomorrow, hey, it's left in the capable hands of Jeff and Snoop, right? Florida Man Friday, got that going. Open PAX Friday, right?
Yep. All of the above, some notebooks, and we get wheels off on a Friday.
I'll look forward to that. I'll look forward to be back with you on Monday. Stay tuned. Shirts and Skins, Chad and Trey up next. Till next time, I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us on Light the Tower. The Sark era.